Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gotta be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top, oh yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Posable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Hey, welcome to episode 121 of the Fully Posable Wrestling Figure Podcast. My name is Jeff. Sitting alongside next to me is my real life brother, not storyline brother, Scott. Scott, say hello.
Hello.
Scott, on this show, we don't have much. Well, we got a little bit of news. I've noticed that this time of the year, the past couple years as it happened, right before San Diego Comic-Con, it's kind of light in the news.
Yeah, it kind of grinds to a halt through May and June. You get a little sprinkling here and there. But of course, July will be the huge reveal of new figures. We should be finding out within the next few weeks or the next month what the San Diego Comic-Con exclusive is going to be. But we'll make it entertaining show for you. I think you'll all be happy with what we've got in store for you.
Also on the show, we've got the listener segment. And to round it out, we are going to be speaking with Dustin Meyer. Our nostalgia segment is going to be about the Sherapro Japanese figures.
Yes, Dustin is going to take us to school, folks. Jeff and I don't know much, if anything, about the Japanese Sherapro figures. So Dustin is going to school us. And I'm excited.
Like you said, dude, we're basically homers. It was WWF, WWE, ECW, WCW. Those were mainly the figures that we had. Oh, AWAs too.
Yeah, that was it. But we never went international with our wrestling figures. It was always just what was put out at our local toy stores here. We never had access to eBay or Amazon. And when we did, you know, we were looking for WWE, WWF, WCW. We're looking for those figures. We were not looking for Japanese. So I'm really excited to kind of broaden our horizons a little bit, learn a little bit more about the Japanese wrestling figures.
Yeah, I think you guys are going to enjoy it. As you said, Dustin takes us to school, dude.
Yes, he does. He gets out the switch and gets us in line.
You can get our shirts from Pro Wrestling Tees or whatamaneuver.net. I noticed that you're wearing the Fully Posable Card Back t-shirt, Scott.
Every day. I have seven of them, sir.
Oh, so you don't wear any of the Hasbro t-shirts that I got you for Christmas that one year?
No, I really don't own seven.
Oh, I thought you did.
No, just one. I do eventually want to have one Fully Posable shirt for every day of the week. I think I'm up to four now.
I like what you're doing over there. I like what you're doing.
Yeah, building the wardrobe. And then eventually, you know, when we become like the Young Bucks and we have like sweatpants and shorts, shoes, things of this nature, I'll just have an entire Fully Posable wardrobe to wear Monday to Sunday.
Undergarments.
Yeah, we could go boxers, bras, perhaps Speedos, depending on the level of interest there with Speedos. I don't know how many of our listeners are actually wearing Speedos. I know I wear it, and it's, you know, people running away on the beach.
Running away? They're running towards you, big man.
Hey, is that Artie Lang? Oh my goodness. I've always wanted to meet him.
You can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, and the Book of Faces at Fully Posable, Instagram Fully Posable WFP. You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts on FullyPosablePodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast from. Please rate and review on iTunes. Scott, like this week, it comes in from Clarence918. The title of this one is Five Starsky, and he gave us five Starskies. Says, the greatest podcast of all the wrestling figure podcasts. I never miss an episode. Fun, family-friendly, and interactive. Subscribe right now. Do it. Thank you, Clarence, for sending that in.
Thank you very much, Clarence. We do strive to be the honest opinion wrestling figure podcast. You're not going to get any lies or fabrications from us. We will always give you an honest opinion. And hopefully, in your opinion, an entertaining show. So we appreciate the five Starskies.
You can send us any audio questions, or anything else at all to fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Before we get into the toy spotting, Scott, I want to say thank you again to Brandon at Hova on Twitter. Rant with Ant. Go listen to Rant with Ant. Drops every Saturday. And from Who's Got Next Podcast, Nicholas Jacoby. I want to thank those guys. We know the show went long last week, But you know what? It was just 3 hours of fun. It was just nonstop laughter from Brandon, from Ant, from Nicholas, almost catching the hands from Ant to Hova getting headbutted by a horse, dude. From beginning to end, I love that show. It's one of my favorites. It captured the NOLA trip perfectly.
Yeah, and look, the goal of that, whether you feel that it went long or you feel that it was our best show we've ever done, the goal behind it was to get you guys excited for next year. You know, we wanted the excitement and the atmosphere that was generated by all of us being together in New Orleans. We wanted that to come across on the show and really get you guys invested into going to WrestleMania next year, taking part in whatever meetups are going on. I know Ant's got some things planned. You and I have been talking about planning a couple things. Just to get you guys pumped and saving now to get yourself to WrestleMania. It's going to be so much fun. I mean, outside of it being just at WrestleMania, which is a big deal in and of itself, to be able to be in the atmosphere around your fellow collectors and your Fig Life community, and just to be able to go meet these guys from the podcast that you listen to every week, do it. Get excited. Listen to that show. Feel the energy and just start saving right now. It's going to be so much fun next year.
We can't wait for New York. It's going to be,
awesome.
As Scott said, it's going to be so much fun. And look, like Ant said on that episode, let's double it. Let's get more people there. We just want a big crew there just to have fun. Who knows? Maybe Chris will come again.
I hope so. That was a huge surprise when he showed up at the NOLA one. So yeah, absolutely. Chris knows he has an open door policy with us.
Yeah, he can come on the show anytime he wants, or he can come to our meetups anytime he wants.
Yep, exactly.
Scott, did you do any toy spotting?
I know I say that I normally do the Walmart and Target trips. This time I did not. I actually went over to Big Lots instead and checked out the local Big Lots. All they had was the Macho King basic, and I believe they had one Sami Zayn basic as well. That's it. No elites, no battle packs. They didn't even have the fan favorite. What's the name of it? Where it comes with a figure and like a DVD and an accessory.
Forever. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know which one I'm talking about. Forever, they had the Cena, Roman Reigns, and Macho Man sets, and they were completely wiped out of them this time. Like I said, they had like three basics. It was Macho Man, or I should say Macho King. I think they had two of those and one Sami Zayn basic, and that's it. I was hoping for an elite score because I've been seeing a lot of people on the East Coast posting that their five and belows have been getting in elites and have had pretty good selections, so I was hoping our Big Lots would get them, but nothing to report.
I'm so jealous of them having five and belows over there.
Man. Yeah, dude, me too. Elites for $5? Come on, man.
I know. Chris was telling me, Chris from Figures Toy Company was telling me that he got some figures from five and below. And I was like,
awesome.
Man, I wish we had one of those over here.
Of
course, if it's in California, it'll be like $25 and below.
Yeah, exactly. They got to keep the lights on, folks.
I did do toy spot and went to Alameda Target, but that was just to pick up some. But of course, while we were there, we were going to go over to the toy section. So we go over to the toy section and I go around the corner and I see this blue box and I'm like, that's Hall of Champions Elite. I wonder which one it is. So I walk up and it's Batista with the WrestleMania 21 contract. I haven't seen these figures out here aside from what I was telling Ann about the Eddie Guerrero last week. So I grab the figure and I look to the right and the big gold belt was taken out of the package.
Savages.
Bunch of savages in this town. I was livid, dude. And then I, of course, tweeted it out and gave him a middle finger emoji because I was none too happy.
They deserved two, sir.
I was so frustrated. I wanted to take it up and see if I could just get the figure for a discounted price. Because it would be cool to pop that one open because I've got a bunch of other different big gold belts, but when I get a mint on card package, I want a mint on card package. I want the belt right in there. I want all the accessories, everything in there. Well, one accessory was missing, but it would have been cool to have the WrestleMania 21 contract.
Yeah. Yeah, but without that big gold belt, man, that detracts from it.
Oh, dude, I was so, so angry about that one. But anyways, that was the only toy spot and I did. I did receive today from Amazon. I got a bigger Daryl the cat.
Oh, Daryl the cat. Oh, okay. Good. It's a stuffed cat. Perfect.
I got the stuffed cat. He's my emotional support stuffed animal cat.
Emotional support.
Stuffed animal cat. Yes.
Got it.
ESSAC. What?
Continue.
So I got a bigger Daryl, and then I also got a, since I didn't do much toy spot, and I also got a couple pins. I received from Heelist on Twitter, at Heelist, H-E-E-L-E-S-T. They made a No Mercy N64 cartridge pin.
Nice.
I had to have that one, dude. I saw that one on Twitter, and I was like, there's no... Because I've been trying to stop collecting pins, but I've been unsuccessful at doing that.
Yeah, just when you think you're out, they pull you right back in.
Heelist pulled me right back in, dude. So I got that pin, and then they also... Lapel, yeah, also released a Daryl the Cat with a mask. And I was like, you know what? I missed out on the first Daryl the Cat pin, so I'm going to be getting this one. So I snagged that one.
Is there any GoldenEye Nintendo 64 cartridge pin? Like the No Mercy one? Okay.
Nothing that I've seen so far.
Okay.
Yeah, that sucks.
That would be a must purchase as well.
By the way... How much fun was last week's show?
It was awesome. I loved it. Dude, I think one of my favorite parts was when Ant was talking about Nick letting the waffle get these hands. Just when he was talking about Nicholas and or about Nick and his eating habits and about him picking the waffle apart with his hands and not using butter or syrup and then asking if the onion rings were spicy. That just just little pieces like that of a trip are things that are going to stand out. Great memories. It was awesome talking with the guys. Of course, Brandon, we've professed our love for that guy. He's amazing. These are the people you're going to meet in New York next year. So again, kind of going back to what we previously said about last week's show, start saving, folks. Go back. If anything, listen to last week's show just for the stories. And specifically, listen to Nick and his excitement level when he's talking about prepping his things for the signings, running around Access like a madman, making sure he's fitting everything in that he wants to get in. That kid is living the wrestling life to the fullest, and he's loving every minute of it. So go back and listen to the excitement in his voice. Let that motivate you. Start saving, because we want to see you at WrestleMania next year, folks.
One thing that I wanted to bring up last week, but it got to be midnight here, and it was 3:30, and we had to wrap that show up over on the East Coast, I should say. It was 3:30. Yeah.
Poor Ant, dude, had to get up early the next morning, too.
Ant had to be... He was going off like 4 hours sleep. But Nicholas is living the life, man. He's, like you just said, he's running around. He's getting autographs. That's awesome, dude. We didn't have that opportunity when we were kids. We didn't have an Access. We didn't have... wrestlers do signings at stores around here. We didn't have anything like that until you were 22, 21?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
When Brett got here?
Yeah, and that was at like some mall Brett did a signing at, and that was the first signing that we had ever known of. So of course we were all over it. But that's the problem too, is being on the West Coast, there's so few and far between. But like to your point, Jeff, like when we were younger, we didn't have signings to go to.
We didn't have a Hogan. We didn't have a Savage. We didn't have a Steamboat to go to a signing to. No promoter was putting on, hey, come see Ricky Steamboat from 6:30 to 8:30 or anything like that. We didn't have anything like that. We didn't have WrestleCons or Accesses. And seeing Nicholas run around WrestleCon, run around Access, dude, I'm so jealous of him, but I'm so happy for him because he is living that life of... being able to do that at such a young age.
Oh, for sure. And look, the way that they have changed the game with giving the fans access to the entertainers or the wrestlers, whatever you want to call them, the way that they have changed that and just made them so accessible. Back in the day, dude, you think back to the first WrestleMania we went to, WrestleMania 12. There was no Access. There was no meeting the wrestlers. It was you went to WrestleMania and that was the end of the day. There was no Hall of Fame, no Access, no meet and greets. Compared to now, it's a 5-6 day event and you have all these meet and greets that go on around the city. So it's awesome to see somebody actually going and partaking in absolutely everything that they can, from meeting Elias at the little meet and greet at the store beforehand to going to WrestleCon and taking advantage of all the guys that were there that he could get signatures from, and then doing all of the Access events and all of the VIP signatures. It's such a great experience. Just to be able to go for like 4 or 5 days and every day have something to do with wrestling. You know, it's almost like your fantasy vacation where you just get to go do a bunch of wrestling things. So start saving, guys. It's totally worth it.
Nicholas, keep living it up like Brandon told you to, man. Don't stop.
You're a young hero.
And then when you turn 21, you might need to slow down a little bit. But yeah.
He's like, do I drink late tonight Or do I wake up early in the morning and go see those guys? The good thing was, when you're young, you could do both.
Right, right. Scott, we've got a little bit of news. What do you say we get into it?
Let's talk about it.
You didn't know?
Scott, first things first in the news, Finn Balor entrance great pictures were shown.
Yep.
I'm going to ask you, what did you think of it?
It's not really any different from some of the other painted Finns they've come out with. I think Jordan said it best when it should have been the Finn from the NXT TakeOver London.
Agreed.
It should have been that Finn, because that's one that they have not done yet, and he would have been perfect for an entrance grate. I thought it was pretty funny that they put this one out with a red sash around his waist, or a red ribbon, if you will.
Right, right.
And it just struck me as funny because the women's Battle Royal trophy from WrestleMania, ugly as sin, and all they do is hang two red ribbons off of it. So the figure, I kind of correlated over to that. Nobody will notice how bad it is. Just throw a red ribbon on it. Not that the Finn figure is bad. Pretty much every Finn figure they put out is good. But the problem is they set the bar so high with that first Finn Elite that you see this one as an entrance grate and you're like, okay, it's not much better than the Elite figure is. It's good. Like we talked about several weeks ago, name a figure that Mattel hits every time, and we mentioned Finn Demon. This is no exception. It's a great Finn Demon, but the problem is it's just another Finn Demon, but this one has a red ribbon around its waist. So to me, unless it's different when I'm holding it in the package in front of me, this is going to be a pass.
I have to agree with you. This is going to be a pass for me. The paint job's good on it. It's good. But it's not other Finn Balors that they've released in the past, like you had just mentioned. It was underwhelming, to say the least.
Yeah, this will be a good one for people that don't have a Finn Demon in their collection. Because, look, you're going to get the bass that plays his music. You're going to get a Demon Finn. And you're going to get a red ribbon. You know, win, win, win. That's all good things. If you don't have a Demon Finn yet, this is a great one to start with. But if you already have his Elites and some of his basics and his network exclusive, this one is just another one of those. It doesn't stand out. So I really think Jordan nailed it, where Mattel maybe missed the boat on this one and should have gone with the NXT TakeOver London.
This will be the first entrance grate since they've relaunched it that I'm passing on.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you.
The angle was good. Like, it was Kurt Angle from earlier years, so that was good.
I really, really like that angle, yeah.
Jeff Hardy was good. I'm not a fan of that paint job, but it's reminiscent to that Series 1 Elite that was supposed to come out.
Oh, yeah, that's a total win, yeah.
I had to have it. Bobby Roode, I'm saying it right now, is going to be on that top 10 list.
Yeah, it's a great Roode figure.
But the Finn Balor, I just couldn't.
I'm with you, 100%. And again, not to knock Mattel, it's not a bad Finn at all, but it's just another Finn Demon. They didn't do anything to make it stand out like I think the NXT TakeOver London one might have.
Scott, also in the news, pictures of Fan Central Battle Pack was shown, and it was found up in Canada. In this battle pack was Edge and Seth Rollins. Actually, it's a good battle pack. I don't mind it.
No, it's fine. I like it. It's another Seth Rollins and another Edge, and they come with the Money in the Bank briefcase, so that's cool.
Jordan Cassatt actually brought it to our attention, and I didn't see this at Access last year in Orlando. But apparently, Mattel put out a vote, a fan vote, what will be the next two-pack. And on the list, they had Mr. Perfect versus Dolph Ziggler. They had Shawn Michaels versus AJ. They had Kane versus Finn. Edge versus Seth Rollins in the Money in the Bank. And they had Undertaker versus Sting.
Oh, boy.
So let's rewind a couple shows ago. Mm-hmm. Us talking about the Fan Central.
Yep.
That a kid received, a little kid received from Undertaker and Michelle McCool. You could see a Fan Central battle pack and you could see Undertaker to the left, but you didn't know who was to the right. So if this vote stood up, I guess it was Sting.
I hope so. My main question is, well, A, I guess it's not Brother Love, but my main question is, what version of Sting are we getting? Are we getting another Crow Sting in basic form? Which if so, that's fine. But the fact that it's old school Undertaker that's made in that package, I wonder if it's going to be another iteration of the Surfer Sting.
It could be. It could be.
Because we're talking like a 91-92 Undertaker. Yeah. So I wonder if we're going to get a 91-92 Sting.
Very well could be. Good point.
I hope so. I really hope so. I think that'd be cool.
So, might have just figured out that mystery. Thank you, Jordan Cassatt.
Good pun, by the way. Figured out.
Scott, FTC, not much to report. You usually do the FTC. I'll do it this week. I was talking to Chris, and he goes, hey, did you happen to see the Twitter last night? And I said, which part? And he goes, that Raven mentioned us and wants to do something with us? And I said, well, you need to get on that.
Good man. Good man. Dude, what an addition that would be. I did see that on Twitter last night. Was just super excited for FTC. You know, losing the ROH license, that's big. You know, and it's bothered a lot of us. And I think by getting more names like Raven, it's going to help kind of ease the pain of that until hopefully one day that ROH license comes back to FTC where it rightfully belongs. But look, Raven is a huge get for them. People had a lot of love for the Blue Meanie, Jerry Lynn, Shane Douglas, and Mikey Whipwreck. And throwing Raven in there, they're going to have a nice collection. And just incredible. They're going to have a nice collection of ECW guys going. So don't sleep on FTC, man, by getting Raven and just thinking about the job they could do with the denim shorts, the leather jacket, the sculpt, you know, the piercings and whatnot on his face. I just can picture a Raven figure from them in my head, and it already looks amazing.
And Scott, last but not least, Hot Topic exclusives. We mentioned the Young Bucks and Cody and Kenny Omega last week.
Oh, Brandon specifically mentioned them, you know, he being a huge fan of NJPW.
That was funny, dude. Even Celeste mentioned even Celeste said something. She goes, why is Brandon mentioning this?
I just thought that was great. That might have been my favorite part of the podcast, and he went so professional with it, just like boom, right into the news. I was like, dude, you're a pro.
Yeah, that was awesome, dude. He was like, yeah, they showed the Young Bucks pops. I'm like, oh, okay, usually we do this, but dude, I'm going to kick my feet up. Cool, go for it, man.
Yeah, go ahead, Brandon.
Yeah, exactly.
That was awesome.
The guy that doesn't like NJPW, go for it, dude. But this week, they showed off the variants of the Young Bucks. And the Young Bucks will be in those black tights, and they have the, was it the yellow tassels coming down from the jackets?
Yes, exactly.
This sucks because I want to get all of them.
And you will.
I probably will because the Young Bucks, and I'm a huge Young Bucks mark over here.
Yes.
Those two sets, the regular one and the variants, are just so awesome, man. I can't say enough good things about those pops. And yes, it's my favorite tag team right now out there, and I am marking out for them, but at the same time, they just look good. They look really good.
Yeah, Funko's really nailing it with the Bucks. And they did a great job on the Omega. They did a great job on the Cody. And one interesting thing to point out that I saw on Twitter earlier is somebody reached out to Cody and they put like a picture of one of his outfits on there. And they're like, hey, what are the odds that we see this from Funko in your variant figure? And Cody's like, look, if there's a variant of my figure that you want to see, just hit up Funko and let them know. He goes, they are awesome about variants and listening to suggestions. So just reach out to them. He goes, they're very receptive, so just let them know what you want to see. So any of you guys that are big into the Funko Pops and specifically the NJPW ones that are coming out, if there's a variant that you think would look amazing, let Funko know about it. Shoot them a picture of it. Say, hey, I think this would do well. Who knows? You might see it on the shelf.
And guys, they're not going to do Stardust, okay? So don't.
Don't knock it off.
No Stardust. No Stardust. There will be no Stardust chase.
I don't think they're going to do Max and Jeremy Buck either, so don't ask.
Oh, good one. I like what you did there, dude.
Thank you.
So, Scott, that rounds out the news. Scott, up next, we have the listener segment. What'd you say?
Let's talk to him.
Scott, our first audio question comes in. Actually, I think it might be a different. The title of this one says Mania Weekend Signings. Let's see what Soda Hunter's got to say.
Hey, Jeff, Scott, this is Soda Hunter at Soda_Hunter. Kevin, Soda, whatever you want to call me. Just wanted to get in touch with you guys. We had a fun time at WrestleMania, me, my wife, and the kids. And I hate that I missed all of the Bourbon Street fun from all you guys. I had a great time at the Fig Life meetup. Wound up drinking, I think, four of those Bayou Rum, Satsuma Bayou Rum mojitos that I had the bartender make up. It was a blast seeing everybody and putting their faces with everybody and voices with everybody. It was, everybody had so much in common. That was the funniest thing. Everybody connected so well at that meetup, and everybody is from different backgrounds, different parts of the country, different political views, different religious views probably. It's funny how different everybody actually is, but we all got this one connection. It's just a mishmash of all these personalities that all work completely perfectly together. And that was a lot of fun, and I hope that I get to do that again one day with you guys and everybody else that goes to one of these Fig Life meetups. I saw on Twitter that you guys were talking about how you needed more signing stories. Well, you guys know I had quite a signing adventure at WrestleMania. I drove there so I could carry a tote full of action figures. And I say full. I mean a full-size tote, plastic tub, full of action figures. I just carried it in the back of the SUV and took off. My wife gave me a $500 limit on WrestleCon, so I had a couple different ways I could approach it. I could get, like, maybe a couple of big names with pictures and stuff like that, or I could just go for quantity more than anything else, and I went for quantity. And so I made a huge dent in my autograph-seeking collection, which, by the way, is all thanks to you guys. You guys are responsible for it all. Going out, getting paint pens and testing them and making sure I got the right color on the right figures and all this. So it's all your fault. And my wife knows it's all your fault. But anyway, I wanted to give as quick as I can, a recap of the weekend. Thursday we got there. We got there early Thursday morning, just drove straight from home to there. And we got in line for Rusev. So we got our wristband, and then we were one of the first few in the Superstore when it opened up. And they had all the Funko Pops laid out, and my wife got in there before me, and she ran straight toward the Funko Pops, and she saw all the chases were separate. So she went right to the chases, and Jake the Snake Chase was there, and it's not even in stores yet. So she went to grab one, and some dude in front of her grabbed every single one of them and took off. And it kind of just broke my heart hearing that, but what are you going to do? Maybe I'll find it on the shelf one day. But we did get a Scott Hall and a Million Dollar Man Funko Pop Chase. And the Million Dollar Man Funko Pop Chase actually changed what I'm going to get signed later at WrestleCon. But then we got in line for Rusev, and he was awesome dude. I got his Elite 46 signed in green, and he inscribed it Rusev Mania above his signature. So that's pretty cool. I know that way I'll know exactly where that came from, and I'll never forget it. After that, we went over to the Walmart signing with Dolph Ziggler. We got a Stealing the Show shirt from his, I think, about 7 years ago. But it's a blue shirt of his that I'm never wearing again because it's obnoxious and it's awful. So I got him to sign the shirt. Now I can't wear it anymore. My wife is holding my three-year-old. I have a five-year-old and a three-year-old, for people that don't know. And he's right next to Dolph Ziggler. And my wife has trained my kids to say cheese every single time for the pictures. So we always have perfect pictures. When he sees a camera, he screams cheese as loud as he can. And Dolph says it back. And they go back and forth saying cheese louder and louder and louder to each other. And there's actually a picture we have of them two saying cheese to each other and looking at each other while they're doing it. And it was the funniest thing. Our picture actually ended up being on WWE.com. So that was really cool. WrestleCon came around Friday. That's where I met you guys for the first time. And I met Brandon for the first time. All you guys were in there. And I saw your Young Bucks sets that you guys got signed. And I was extremely jealous of that. And but when I went back over there to get the Young Buck figures that were on the shelf, like on a table for sale, after seeing that, I was like, oh, I got to do that myself. And I went back over to get it, and they were gone. I should have got them when I had the chance. But first, we got the Defining Moments Crow Sting signed, and we got that signed in red because he was wearing the Wolfpack paint. So we figured that would be a cool little way to remember the moment. Elite 49 Brutus Beefcake got that signed in pink. It looks awesome. Jerry the King Lawler, the Hall of Fame, we got that signed in red. Looks awesome. The Thin Now Forever Typhoon got that signed in blue. Again, looks great. The Jake Roberts Hasbro, we got that signed in blue too. We got the Elite 43, Bret Hart and Anvil, signed in blue. Bret Hart was, that was another interesting one because I went to Bret Hart and I told him that I just got Jim to sign the same set. And he looked at me, he's like, Jim's in here? He's like, yeah, yeah. He's, and I pointed a couple rows over. He's like, yeah, yeah, he's just over there. He looked over there and then gave like a frown, like a disgusted look on his face. And I'm thinking, okay, Bret Hart and Jim have some beef I don't know about. Yeah, but anyway, I know, Jeff, he's your favorite. And you can't deny his in-ring ability and all that. But, man, he's really not that personable when it comes to autographs and stuff. But it was awesome to get a signature. And I got the Nasty Boys Elite 42 signed in yellow. The Mean Gene Flashback, I got that signed in red. And unfortunately, he signed it right over the red jacket. The one spot on that figure I didn't want him to sign over, he signed over it. I got the DiBiase Chase Funko Pop, and they got that signed in green. Got the Toys R Us Virgil signed in purple, and I'm not going to mention how much I pay for that because Virgil is a jerk, and I'm not going to give him any credit. But I did want that action figure signed, and it looks really good signed. So I got it signed in purple, and it looks fine. I don't regret it. I just wish that he wouldn't have been a jerk about it. Demolition, the Jax Classic Superstar Series 14, I got those signed in blue because my red paint pen was messing up, and my wife and kids went around town meeting other people because Miz was signing at Cricket Wireless. I didn't have a figure, but they got a little autograph, and it was cool that my son, my five-year-old, got to hold the Intercontinental title during a picture, so that was really cool. And I showed you guys, they actually went to meet Jeff Hardy at Barnes & Noble, and we had the Epic Moments set, and he got he actually signed his side of the Epic Moments set in pink. And I showed you guys at the Fig Lock meetup, and it looks awesome. It's probably my favorite one from the whole weekend, honestly. It looks great. Then Access, we did Access on Saturday afternoon. We got the Revival Battle Pack Series 45 signed in green. The stupid green paint pen, it just decided to stop working the minute they went to sign it, so it doesn't look great, but it's okay. They were cool dudes. TJ Perkins, he was really cool. I got the Network Spotlight signed from him in purple. Had a blast. Absolutely had a blast all weekend. My favorites getting signed at WrestleCon had to be Sting, Jerry Lawler, Million Dollar Man. He's always really cool. Typhoon was cool. Jim the Anvil Neidhart has a really good autograph. I didn't know that, but when I actually got it signed, I realized that he has a really good autograph, and it was a lot of fun seeing all these people. I'm really glad I got to hang out with you guys. I probably won't be able to make New York, like I said. We're actually planning a Disney trip to Orlando this fall, so that's probably going to take away most of my WrestleMania money, if not all of it. We will see you guys again one day, and I really hope I get to hang out with everybody at the next Fig Life meetup, and I had a blast, and it's really all because of you guys. Thank you guys so much for the podcast you put on, for everything you do. I know this ran long, and I apologize. Thank you guys, and happy toy hunting, guys.
Soda, thank you so much for the kind words. Right after WrestleMania, you had started posting all of your pictures of your stuff that you had gotten. And I put out a tweet that said, I think you had the most epic WrestleMania haul of all time. And that story just backs it all up. Dude, that's going back to what we said about Nick. You did the exact same thing. And the best part was you had your wife and kids there to celebrate the whole thing with you. So that's awesome, dude. That was completely living WrestleMania life to the fullest. Doing the Access, doing the WrestleCons, doing the Barnes & Noble, the store meet and greets, just totally doing it right. You had all the good figures going. You had your paint pens ready. Just awesome stories all around. That's the stuff we love to hear. And thank you for sharing your stories. And again, listeners, you're hearing his excitement with going out and getting the autographs and doing the meet and greets. This is what awaits you at WrestleMania 35. You got to go. Start saving.
One thing I took away from that is a lot of his paint pens were failing. Remember, mine failed also.
On Trish, yeah.
On Trish, the pink paint pen stopped working with Nick Jackson. Was it Nick or... No, yeah, it was Nick. It just stopped working. So they're like, there's a piece of the K that's missing on the Young Buck figures. There was another mishap. Oh, but we were able to save it. It was the Mikey Whipwreck that you got me for my birthday. FCC figure, the blue wasn't settling like it usually does.
That could have been the temperature, though.
Yeah, and as we talked about last week with those guys, it was so hot in that place. It was so hot and humid, and like Ant said, you didn't want to open your mouth because it was in a release hot air. That's just, and that's the honest to God truth. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah, so wonky paint pens might have been a result of that.
Right, right. Scott's right. Soda Hunter, you won autographs at WrestleMania, and all the autographs you got, man, they're all good, man. I know Mean Gene didn't do a good job on my figure, and he did the same exact thing where he signed over the coat. It is what it is, and it's okay. I got to talk to Gene for a little bit, and he's still quick-witted, and so that was cool. Great job on all those figures, man. Awesome, awesome haul. And being so close, or I shouldn't say so close, but being able to make that trek to a city that's close by and being able to haul all those figures definitely helped. So congrats, man.
Yeah, and I also want to say thank you to Soda as well. He put out a really nice tweet today to Mattel. You know, we didn't talk about it earlier, but Matthew Goldberg is now sponsored by Mattel. They're sending him a huge haul of figures. He's going to be doing reviews on those figures. Soda actually put out a tweet to Mattel that said, hey, you know, you guys handed out these sponsorships to people. I think you overlooked the Fully Posable podcast crew. I don't know if that tweet is going to go anywhere. If it does, great. If not, Soda, we truly appreciate you taking time out of your day to send a tweet to Mattel. It truly means the world to us that you would think of us to tweet Mattel directly. We truly appreciate it, man.
Yeah, it is what it is. Sometimes we're too honest. That may get us in trouble. But the fact that Kevin took time to put that tweet together and tag Mattel in it, we can't thank you enough, man. Just the tweet probably took you like a minute or two to type, and that minute or two meant the world to us. So thank you so much for sending that tweet out, dude.
Yeah, thank you, Soda.
So Scott, last question of the night comes in from Josh Thompson with his weekly question. He says, hey, Jeff and Scott, weekly question. Which wrestlers on current WWE main roster do you feel deserve an elite soon? Besides Bobby Lashley, I feel like some of the 205 guys should get some more elites. I understand why Mattel doesn't do many 205 figures due to them not being as popular, but I really wish they would swap out a classic guy or a less popular guy for a 205 guy. If elites of Brian Kendrick and Akira Tozawa are anything to go by, I think Mattel would hit elites on Grand Metalik and Tony Nese out of the park. What do you think? I wholeheartedly agree with you. Honestly, like, do we need another Roman Reigns? I would rather have a Cedric Alexander than another Roman Reigns or another Dean Ambrose.
I agree to a certain extent. When we talked about the WrestleMania wish list of people whose outfits or costumes we could see them making, Mattel being they, making elite figures out of, the one that we kind of overlooked was Mustafa Ali. And that's because it was Mustafa Ali. He's on the 205 roster. He's not on the main roster. But I could see him going into a smaller set, like a network spotlight, that they don't release as many of them. Because look, they did TJP and they did an amazing job on his figure. To Josh's point about them doing a great job on the Tozawa Elite, which we actually saw at Access and it looks great, and the Brian Kendrick Ringside Exclusive, which also looks great, they are really knocking these 205 guys out of the park. They're doing an awesome job, but they're on 205 Live. That's not on main TV. That's a network exclusive, so to speak. So I think if you were to do a Mustafa Ali from WrestleMania, I think he would fit really well into the network spotlight, assuming that series is moving on and is going to end up at another retailer. I just have a hard time seeing Mattel investing in 205 Live guys because they're not a network television show. Raw and SmackDown are your network television shows. 205 Live is really just a network exclusive. And I can't see Mattel, as much as they're doing a great job on the 205 roster, I just can't see them investing a ton of money into doing just a bunch of 205 guys. It's going to be very few and far between, I think. Would I love to see more? Absolutely. The more figures you put out, the happier we are. I mean, you could get a Buddy Murphy. You know, to Josh's point, you could do a Grand Metalik, you could do a Tony Nese, who I would love to see, and is actually one that I was hoping FTC would get before he signed with WWE. We could get a bunch of those guys. Even if they're not in elite form, they would be great basics. You know, you could do a couple of battle packs, you'd really build that 205 roster up. I just don't see Mattel investing in it. I think that for them, it's not a network show, so I really see them passing on 205 and just doing a sprinkling, you know, as we've seen with TJP and Brian Kendrick, But yeah, it's going to your point about Alexander. They need to do an Alexander figure. I think he would be a great elite figure.
Yeah, exactly. One other guy that we could bring up. How about another Drew McIntyre? We haven't had one of we haven't had a Drew McIntyre figure. What was his last one? The basic where he was part of 3MB.
Well, his are coming. You can pretty much guarantee that at SDCC this year we're gonna see at least one prototype of a Drew McIntyre. I think they would. Look, they already pretty much have the mold done, right? So they just have to kind of put a beard on him, a little bit, maybe longer hair, maybe some chest hair, and then boom, you have your Drew McIntyre. But he's definitely going to get released. But as far as another guy on the roster that I think would deserve an elite, and this is just the PWG mark in me, but I want to see Cassius Ohno get himself an elite.
That would be good, dude. The love of Cassius Ohno. He just got the FTC figure, which is a really good figure.
Oh, it's awesome. It's awesome. But see, this is now going to be your compare and contrast, because then you could take the Cassius Ohno Elite, match him up to the FTC, both versions that came out, see which one you maybe like better. You can pretty much guarantee on a Cassius that you're going to get a molded jersey. Another Elite that I would like to see be put out by Mattel, and I'm hoping it's coming, is either a three-pack or three individual elites, Adam Cole, O'Reilly, Fish.
Are they doing three-packs anymore, though?
I don't know. I know that Kmart had those three-packs that came out, and they've done the Then, Now, and Forevers, like the Shield three-pack at Walmart. I don't know if those are obsolete or if they're still going to be putting them out. But even if they don't, I would love to see a set of five or six elites come out and Undisputed Era be three or four of them, because you could also do Roderick Strong now. Yeah, so those are elite guys that I would like to see.
Unfortunately, I don't think they're doing any more four-pack set.
I think you're right. I think especially now with that that last one that came out that had Hall and Nash, Guerrero, and Zabisco in it, that's warming up the pegs just like the Heenan family and the Four Horsemen before it did. So I think you're right, Jeff. I think that those are pretty much a thing of the past.
So thank you, JT, for your question. Did we leave anybody off? I'm trying to think of the roster.
Well, he mentioned Lashley specifically. I'm not a big Lashley guy, but you can pretty much guarantee, Jeff, like you said with Drew McIntyre, the Lashley figures are coming. I don't really think... I go more towards NXT guys, because you know main roster guys are going to get their figures. It's harder for us sometimes to get the NXT guys. So I'm really hoping that Cassius and all of Undisputed Era are in an NXT set before the end of the year. But look... we'd be completely remiss if we didn't say Nikki Bella, right?
That's for you, Ant.
To an extent, that is for Ant, and we discussed it on last week's show, but I think that she fits that Walgreens exclusive set so well, because they have not yet done the Butterfly Divas title, that they could do a Nikki Bella with that title, and it would totally fit right into that women's Walgreens line. Another one I want to see, a Carmella.
They did do the Butterfly Belt.
I'm sorry. I meant specifically for the Walgreens set, dude.
Oh, gotcha, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, because they've done, you know, women's titles with it. They've done the Raw. They've done, well, Maryse came with the IC belt, but they've done the Raw and the women's and the SmackDown women's titles. They have not yet in the Walgreens set done the Butterfly Divas belt. So I think as that set continues to move forward, I think it makes a lot of sense to throw that belt in there. And then they could go back even further and do like an old school Trish with the old women's title, you know, or even an Ivory. It would be great to get an Ivory, like almost like a Hall of Fame figure with that old women's belt. I think that'd be awesome. Or if they could ever do a China, that would be amazing as well.
They did do a Trish Elite, and I think she did come with that women's title, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that would almost be double dipping. So I think I'd lean more towards Ivory or a China. I think those would be awesome.
That would work. So that rounds out the listener segment. Scott, we're about to get taken to school, dude.
Yeah, get your shoes on, bro.
Scott, I want to welcome to the show the gentleman that has one of the greatest wrestling figure collections I've ever seen. His name's Dustin Meyer. Dustin is a former independent wrestler. And Dustin, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, wow. It's great to be on. I've been listening to you guys, well, pretty much almost since the beginning. So to be a guest on here is quite an honor.
Dustin, real quick, who were you trained by?
I was trained by Bad News Allen, aka Bad News Brown, when he was in the WWF.
And who did you have come through your territory a lot?
Oh, well, I trained with Jinder Mahal. And so he was the guy I trained with. But in our league, all the guys I wrestled with were like Natty Neidhart, Tyson Kidd, who's TJ Wilson, Tyler Breeze, Victor from the Ascension. We brought in a lot of big names too from all over. So I wrestled with quite a few guys. In fact, I will tell you this. I was the women's champion because there wasn't enough women's wrestlers. And I was the women's champion from Natalia, who was Natty Neidhart at the time.
That is awesome.
So I was the 7th champion, women's champion in Stampede Wrestling. So
that's great.
I made the Calgary Sun newspaper, so that was my claim to fame for a while.
Oh, that's nice. That's awesome, man.
So every time I see TV, I'm like, I've beat her.
So, Dustin, why don't you go into your collection a little bit? Like, how long have you been collecting?
Well, I started when I was about 3 years old. I saw wrestling on TV one day, and I had fallen in love with it. And my cousins actually had a bunch of the LJN-style wrestlers, and they were about 7 years older than me, so they were kind of growing out of that phase. So they gave me their whole box. So then I slowly started collecting all the LJNs, and then when the Hasbros came out, obviously I collected all the Hasbros, and then the Bone Crunching figures came out, I started collecting all them. And my collection is over 1,300 wrestlers now, action figures. Though I pretty much have all the LJNs. I don't have some of the variants, and I pretty much have all the Hasbros. I mean, I don't have, like, there's two Razor Bones. I only have the one of him, but I pretty much have everybody else, all the green cards set, and then the Bone Crunching, I pretty much, and the Jax figures, I pretty much have, if there was one of a certain wrestler made, I probably have them. I pretty much have everyone. Now, there's a lot of variants, obviously, made. And then all the new Mattel guys, I pretty much have all the classic superstars, except for some of the ultra rare ones I don't have. I pretty much had everybody. And then I don't have, obviously, all the new Mattels. There's just so many that come out nowadays.
Right. Now, do you have any rare figures from the Hasbros? Any ones that pre-production type deals or anything like that?
No, I don't have anything like that. I just try, and my collection's always just try to be get one of every guy that's ever wrestled in the world. And so I've done pretty well there.
Were you able to score the mail-aways for the Hasbros?
No, I was never. I never even tried, really, to get them. And no, they're quite expensive as well. But no, I never tried, really, to get them. Maybe someday. So, yeah, and then just rare. Like, remember when Figures Toy Company even had those figures come out?
Oh, yeah.
I remember getting Dula the Butcher. And then just tried, like I said, just try and get one of everyone. I collected all the WCW guys I could get that had a figure out.
I know. Oh, so you did like OSMTM and Toy Biz and all those?
Yeah, all the ECW guys. I pretty much have them all. That's how I pretty much got into the Share Pros, because I needed something else to collect because I had everybody. But it all started like in the, I believe it was the late 90s. I used to, because in the middle of nowhere, in small town Saskatchewan, Canada.
Uh-huh.
I'm ways away from a city. So if I ever got to go to the city, that's how I'd buy an action figure in those days. And then in wrestling magazines, they used to have an ad. I think it was Figures Toy Company. A figure, and then they would mail it back. So that's how I got a lot of my figures back in the day, because they didn't have the internet, of course, then.
Yep, it was all through magazines.
I would, yeah, through those magazines. And then they would send me magazines. And that's where I first saw my first Share It Pro. I saw that Great Muta figure, and I needed a Great Muta figure for my collection. So I'd got that one. And the only other one I saw in their magazine at the time was a 2-pack of Vader and Scorpio. And I was never able to get that one. Couldn't really afford it at the time. Years later, I was like on eBay, because now I have to buy my figures on eBay or Amazon.
Right.
Or Ringside Collectibles or whatnot, or Figures Toy Company, I still do. So pretty much I have to buy all my figures online. I don't just get to go to a store. They're too far away from me. So a few years ago, was on eBay, and then I was like, I need to get that Vader and Scorpio figure that I'd never saw. So I went on there and I was like, I bought it, and then it said figures, like other figures in the same area, and there was a Stan Hansen. I'm like, what? They made a Stan Hansen figure? How did I not know about this? I started getting into this, these Share Pro figures, and started buying them, everyone I could find. And Share Pro is actually short for character product. If you didn't know that.
No. So a lot of these, I was trying to do a Google search on a majority of these, and I couldn't find much of anything. I saw a lot of the figures, but there was like no series breakdown or anything like that until I talked to you and you mentioned that each figure was a series.
Yeah, that's correct. Each figure is a series. And like so many different of the leagues in Japan made these figures, and there's actually three kinds of companies that made them. Character Product, which is Share Pro, Hyper Heroes, and HAO all made them. And they were all pretty much the same size and stature. They're 5 inches, and the articulation is the arms and the waist.
So it was just the arms and the waist, huh?
Yeah.
And they did do statues?
The statues?
Did they ever end up doing statues?
No, not that I know of.
Oh, okay. I did see an...
But there is a bunch of different figures in Japan that are like, there's like some with the big heads, and then there's some little taller ones. There are different companies that have made figures out there.
When did they start being produced?
Or the bull marks, pardon me?
When did they start being produced? Do you remember which year?
That I can never did find.
But you started finding them in like the late 90s, early 2000s, yeah. Somewhere in there? Okay.
Yeah, and then I just went on eBay and just kept buying them. And like, there's different ones. Like, some of them come with accessories. Some come with the little stands, like it's a round stand, and then they have little pegs for their feet to hold.
Okay.
All over. And then those are neat. And they have their name on it. Sometimes that they're in Japanese, and sometimes they're in English.
Huh.
And they come in 2-packs. And they've made so many guys that have wrestled in Japan over the years. So I was just so interested in getting guys that had never had figures before.
Do you know how far they go back and when they started? Because there was originally the Poppy figures or the Poppy figures.
Well, I know the Poppy started in 1981. And I do have about 5 Poppies. I have the Harley Race, the Dory Funk, Terry Funk, Stan Hansen, Abdullah the Butcher. So, and those ones were quite expensive to buy.
Do you have them loose or on the card?
I have them loose.
Wow, those are super rare.
The only one
rare.
I ever actually on the card was Hulk Hogan. It was like 2,500 American. Probably 250 to 300 American, I believe I paid for these, which is a lot for my Canadian dollars.
Jeez. Now, did you collect the Remcos at all, or are the Poppies?
Yeah, well, I only collect the Remcos if they're in packaging, because there's so many Remcos out there.
Yeah.
That, They come with the cool clothing, right, that comes off the removable stuff, and it's so hard to find. So I decided I was only going to collect the AWA Remcos if they're in packaging, and I got quite a few of them as well, like the Stan Hansen 2-pack with Jerry Blackwell, the Crusher, yep. Carlos Colon, Abdullah the Butcher 2-pack. I got the 3-pack of the Road Warriors and Paul Ellering.
Yep.
And then, is it the Fabulous Ones or the Fantastic? Steve Kern and Stan Lane, that's the one.
Fabulous Ones.
Yeah, Fabulous Ones.
And then the Steve Regal and Jimmy Garvin and Precious 3-pack, I have that one as well. And then a Nick Bockwinkle and Larry Zbysko 2-pack. So yeah, I got quite a few.
Okay. And then the Japanese figures...
I was going to do this interview in my wrestling room, but the power is off at our place right now. So
I'm here in
complete black darkness. Well, I can't even look at the wrestlers right in front of me.
Oh, shoot.
Exactly. I had it all planned that I was going to do that, but I do have a picture of the picture that I tweeted you guys of the Share Pro, so I have them in front of my face right now.
Oh, okay. The Japanese figures, when you started collecting them in the late 90s, early 2000s, were they all already out so then you could just go back and start collecting all of them, or were there still series coming out when you were buying them?
No, they've all been made. Like the newest guys that people would know, there's a Kenta, a Marafuji, but they looked really young. So I don't really know what year they started wrestling for Noah. Those were Noah figures. And as well as there is a Shinsuke Nakamura and a Tanahashi. Now that's in their right when they first came out started wrestling as well. So they're in their debut gear.
Oh, okay.
And the Nakamura is kind of neat. He actually comes with a removable torso, so you can change his legs into shorts or into pants. And like the Tiger Masters, there's so many different variants of each guy. And I have a few different Tiger Masks, one in the red pants and one in the blue pants. And he has the removable mask and whatnot. And the one Tiger Mask I have, you can remove his upper body to make him Satoru Sayama as well. So I thought that was kind of cool.
That was one thing I was going to ask you about variants, because there was quite a few Jushin Thunder Ligers. There was a different variants, or was there just different ones that they put out?
Yeah, there is quite a few different Jushin Thunder Ligers. There's the red and white one. There's the black and gold one, and then a white and gold one. And those are all in the same little statue.
Uh-huh.
Style figures. And then they also come in clear or a bronze or like a black, statue style, I guess.
Okay.
I don't know why they made these clear figures, but yeah, you can get all these guys in clear style figures too.
Now, you mentioned that you got the Stan Hansen. Did you get the Bruiser Brody?
Oh yeah, I got the Bruiser Brody.
Okay, cool. And then I did see that you got Kenta. That figure, as you mentioned, I had to zoom in on the picture that you sent over, but he does look really young, or Hideo Itami.
Yeah, I got the Kenta Hideo Itami. I got a couple of them. I got a 2-pack with him and Marafuji. And the one when he's in his yellow and kind of, what is that, brown tights. And then one, he's in some silver tights as well. Like, every guy had so many different variants as well, so many different outfits, if they had the outfits.
What I thought was interesting is that each guy was his own specific series. So, like, if you look at Mattel, it's like Elite Series 41. It's like 6 different figures. It's Cena, it's Finn Balor, or whatever it is. But for one series, it was one guy. It wasn't 6 individual guys. It was one guy. I thought that was really interesting regarding these.
Yeah, that is true. And each company made their figures too. Like, New Japan has guys out. All Japan had guys out. Noah had guys out. Pancras had guys out. 01 had guys out. And there are a lot of guys. They're like, they're wrestlers from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. So we're talking, like, I have a Riki Dozen. And an Antonio Inoki and a giant Bubba. I want to go back to that Stan Hansen. There's 3 Stan Hansens that I know of. One when he's got his black vest and chaps and cowboy hat on. One he's got brown cowboy hat, brown chaps and brown vest on. And then one he's just in his tights and he looks like he's about to give a lariat. And that one's really cool. Well, they're all really cool, but that one's one of my favorites.
How many different Inokis did they come out with?
There's at least 10 that I can think of. He comes in his, what are those house coats, kimonos or whatever they call it? You can get one in that. And then he's got quite a few in different color outfits. And then he has the kind of like the bronze statue or the clear statue, opposed to ones. And then he has one in a homeless outfit.
Homeless. Interesting.
I think the most guy is Great Muda or Kiji Muda, or you know how he's got so many different names.
Right.
It has the most, so many different outfits.
Now, going through your collection, do you have Sasuke?
Oh yeah, I got Sasuke. It's funny, like, I don't really care if my figures are in packages or out of packages. Like, sometimes they'll come in packages and I'll just take them out and just display them loose. Because if I had them all in packages, it would take up so much space. So I have to, for displaying purposes, keep some guys out of the packages. And I actually bought the Sasuke. Came in the package, autographed and everything, and I opened it up and made it loose and just threw the packaging out with his autograph and everything. I know that would probably make me disgusted, but it didn't bother me at all. I don't really care.
My heart hurts a little bit.
They also made a Hakushi figure?
Yep, there is 2 Hakushi figures. One, he's like walking the top rope, and he doesn't have the tattoos painted on his body. That one I have loose, and then I also have him with his little tattoos painted all over his body, the Japanese symbols. Uh-huh. And I have that the packaging still, and that one's pretty cool. He's got like a white dress on his lower half. I knew you guys always talk about you wish there was a Hakushi, and I'm always thinking, oh, well, I have 2 of them.
Yeah, I think it's somewhere where Mattel and Jack sorely missed is not making a Hakushi figure yet.
That's one of the things that kind of shocked us, because as Scott mentioned before, we're kind of homers when it comes to our figures. Like, we didn't know much about the Japanese figures. So seeing a Liger figure, it's like, oh, they did make a Liger figure. Seeing a Hakushi figure, oh, there is a Hakushi figure.
A Muda.
Exactly, a Muda. It just blows our mind. We didn't know much about these Sherapro figures. One quick question. So, was Sherapro just one big company and it made all of the figures for Noah, All Japan, and New Japan?
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly how it went down, and made a bunch of MMA figures as well. Like I said, though, there was 3 companies, and some of the companies used Hyper Heroes and HAO as well.
So kind of comparing it, it would be like Mattel doing WWE, TNA, ROH figures?
I would think, but they're almost exactly the same, the figures. So you really can't tell the difference other than the logo on the packaging. They're almost identical.
So they were, all those figures were in the same scale and everything, huh?
Well, yeah, they're all in the same scale and everything. The rarest ones are the Funks. There's a Dory Funk and a Terry Funk. And Terry comes in two different outfits. And they're, I'm not sure how old they are. And then as well as the Abdullah the Butcher and the Tiger Jeet Singh. And Abdullah comes in two different variants, a black, wearing black pants and red pants. And as well as Jeet Singh, he has a green outfit and a black outfit. And those ones are the most expensive ones to get, the hardest ones to find. It took me a long time to get them. And when I finally found them, I had to pay a heavy price to get them.
Was that all through eBay?
Yeah, that's correct.
So it probably, plus shipping, that probably just cost you a pretty penny, huh?
Yeah, it did. It did, that's for sure. They also made a Terry Funk Beyond the Mat, and I have that one still in the package.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, so he's in, well, Beyond the Mat Terry Funk. Now, everything's pretty much in Japanese on the packaging, but it's in his, with his striped pants, you know, the red and white and black striped pants.
Yeah.
And fist taped and everything. Like, the other Terry Funk is, like, in the 70s gear.
Another figure that I actually wrote down that I can't believe we've skipped past on is the Ultimo Dragon.
Yeah, they made quite a few Ultimo Dragons, and they are phenomenal. Probably one of the best figures Sheriff Pro made, because he has so many cool outfits, and they're like sparkly. They're almost glittery, like the cape I have. The one I have is orange and silver, and the silver is like, everything is like sparkly, like glitter. So it's really well done. The attention to detail on the Sheriff Pro figures is, nobody can touch it. It's top notch.
If anybody wanted to start collecting these, how much would they be looking at on eBay or through side sellers or anything like that?
I was looking today just because I pretty much have them all, so I haven't really needed to look lately. But I think they would start you around loose between 30 and 60 for some of the more guys that are out there.
Uh-huh.
But some of the rare ones you'll be paying up to probably 200 to 300 American, I would think. I think, ooh, I seen a Bruiser Brody about 150.
Because I know those Poppy figures, I know those garner a lot of money on eBay too.
Oh yeah, those ones. Yeah. Well, expensive.
Oh yeah.
Justin, one of my favorite things about the figures is the rings that come out for them. Do you have any rings for the figures, or can you talk a little bit about maybe some of the rings that have come out to accompany them, or do they even have rings for them?
Not that I know of. I've never seen a ring for Poppy or for the Sheriff Pros.
So that's where, because I was about to ask about the ring also, because each picture, or I shouldn't say each picture, a lot of the pictures that I saw, a lot of the guys were posed with a ring. And I don't know if it was custom rings or if it was just a ring that they built or whatever it may be. But a lot of the figures were posed in a Japanese ring. And that's one of the things I wanted to touch on, to see if there was a ring that was produced.
Not that I've ever saw or looked. I have never been able to find one anywhere that is shown. So I'm wondering if those are just custom made.
I'll send you pictures of what we were looking at.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one that I've seen around, it's like a black box. And I want to say it's an NJPW ring. I know that Figures Toy Company does have a set where you can make one of your existing rings into an NJPW looking ring, but this one looked like a legit, like, NJPW release. Like, it was the white ring with the corner pads all done up. But because I've never seen one out in the wild, and I've only seen pictures of the box online. So I was kind of hoping to get more information about that, because I kind of want to buy one. They're awesome looking.
That sounds pretty cool. No, but I've never had one or ever seen one, so.
Okay.
Gotcha. I'll send you some pictures of what we were looking at. Now, one figure I was really impressed with when I saw it was the Vader figure.
That Vader is an amazing figure. Now, there's quite a few Vaders. Well, I'd say three for sure that I know of.
Uh-huh.
There's the pack with Scorpio from NOAH. They come with the tag team titles. And then there's just Vader in a single pack with his mask on. I should say that the one in the Scorpio pack, he doesn't have his mask on. And then you can get a Vader solo by himself with his mask on. And when I say his mask, I just mean that one he wore while wrestling. And then you can also get a rare one without his mask. Comes with a belt. I believe it's the NOAH Heavyweight Champion. It's like 1 of 500.
Now, which one did you get?
I have the two-pack with Scorpio, and then I have the one with his mask just the NOAH, in the NOAH package without the belt, not the one of 500. But they're really well done. That's the one thing about the Sherrod Pro figures compared to like Mattel or it's like or Jax. Those ones seem to use the same body for every figure. They individually, for these Sherrod Pros, every guy has its own body and it's like molded to look like his body. Like I have a Tenryu and it's probably my favorite figure because he has kind of like the big saggy boobs like he had when he wrestled, you know, the pecs. It's so detailed. If you watch him, totally has the big saggy pecs. They made that just for him. And that's why the Tenryu is probably my one of my, if not one of my favorite.
Well, it sounds like these things weren't mass produced like the Mattels and the Jax. So maybe they could spend a little more time actually sculpting a guy from head to toe, put a little more attention to the detail.
I would think so. Absolutely. Like if you look at some of these guys, like the Tiger Mask, he's a lot smaller than the giant Bubba figure or the Inoki figure, and the Sasuke's a little bit smaller, and the Abdullah figure is quite a bit bigger. It's like they really try and make it to scale, to real life scale each guy.
That's awesome.
And they come in, like the Masahiro Chono comes in his sweet black long leather trench coat, or you can get him in as just his normal wrestling tights.
Another thing I loved was the Tiger Mask coming with mask off and mask on. That was you. I think you touched on that earlier, but that was one that I was like, that's a great touch.
Yeah, it is. And then you can get him with his cape, and then you can get him with Otis cape. There's quite a few Tiger Masks out there. You can get him in his ring jacket. You can get him obviously in his red pants. Or Tiger mm-hmm. Mask 1 or Tiger Mask 2. So many. There was a few Ligers too. I was going to say there is another Liger. And he came with that kind of that shoulder pad thing he wears to the ring too.
Yeah.
With the spikes kind of on it. You can get a Liger like that as well. So I have that Liger. If you zoom in on my top shelf there.
So they also came out with statues. Well, I shouldn't say Sherpro did this. Later on, they came out with statues of Okada and Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yes, and I got them as well.
Where did you snag those from?
I believe on eBay.
eBay? So when I first started getting into NJPW, I want to say it was about 2012, 2013, whenever they started up on Access TV, that's when I really started to get into NJPW. Well, I happened to find the Nakamura on Amazon for $38.
Oh, wow, that's a good deal.
I passed on it.
You're great. Dude.
Oh, dude, don't think I don't shoot myself in the foot for that one, man.
those are really expensive right now. I got it for probably that price too, but if you look on now, they're going for quite a bit of money. And that comes in a red variant, red pants and black pants, and then a clear one as well.
Yeah. Oh, they had a clear one?
Yeah. I don't really get the whole clear figure thing, but maybe it's
I've never seen the clear one.
Yeah, I've never seen that one either.
The last time I saw the Shinsuke, he was going for $80 US.
I've seen it as high as 125. In fact, they had it at the Las Vegas Fight Shop, and they were asking 135 for it, I want to say.
Yeah, they got to keep the lights on though.
Yeah, exactly.
And the Okada, too. The Okada doesn't have his blonde hair. He has the black hair. I got that one as well. It came with Okada bucks, so I got a couple Okada bucks now.
Oh, did you really?
So I thought that was kind of cool.
That's awesome. That's great, man. I remember that was another one. The Okada, the Nakamura on Amazon was $38 and the Okada was like $42. And I was like, I'm not going to get these. They're too expensive, you know. And trust me, I shoot myself in the foot. But one of the other things that I wasn't too impressed with the Okada. So that's what another reason I passed on that. Now, I should have never passed on the Nakamura.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That one, it's really well done, that Nakamura.
Just the pose that they have him in. They have him where he's got his wrists together and he's doing, you know, his normal signature pose. And then Okada is the one where he has the shorts and he's got his hands down by his side.
Kind of looking down. It's not the best one, but the paint job on it's really well done. But yeah, it's not the best pose for him. The Nakamura is well done. I kept that one in the package because I felt that one was going to be worth some money sometime.
So when did you start going after these Sherrod Pro figures? I think you mentioned it earlier, but what year did you kind of start going after them?
About 4 years ago, I really went hard into them and tried to get everybody I could. And like I said, like there's not a lot of information I couldn't find. I did find one form, WrestleFigs, form.wrestlefigs.com, and they found I found a little bit of information because I didn't even know who was made, right? Like, I've always followed Japanese wrestling ever since WCW pretty much was in cahoots with them back in the early 90s.
Uh-huh.
And so I've always been interested in and wanted to know more about the Japanese wrestling. So I've read a lot about it and watched a lot of Japanese wrestling. And so I know what all these figures. So when I seen guys that I knew, I was like, well, I got to have that guy. Well, I got to have that guy. Well, I got to have that guy. So I bought so many 70s, 80s, 90s, and the early 2000s. Like, they have a mineral or a Suzuki.
Uh-huh. Mineral
there.
Oh, and yeah, with hair, too.
Yeah, with hair. And he has the towel over his head as well, so you can't even tell he has hair.
That's true. That's true.
That was from the Dreams promotion, I want to say. No, Pancras. Yeah, it was Pancras.
That was one that I was checking out. I was like, man, it's so weird seeing him with hair, even though he just recently shaved his head.
Yeah, so I was really stoked to get that one.
Have you gotten any of the figures out and about, like maybe at a show or anything like that, or has it all been Amazon, eBay?
No, I've never seen them out. I've only seen them on Amazon or eBay. Found a guy in Japan who had a store. And that's kind of where I got them from. So I got pretty good deals from him.
Uh-huh.
If I ordered a bunch of guys at once.
Does he still have him?
Oh, I would think so. But I haven't really looked lately. I pretty much, like I said, have almost everybody I need now. So uh-huh. I haven't looked lately. But yeah, I can't even remember what it was called. I think it was, I'd have to go on my eBay and check his account. But yeah, he hooked me up and he was really good. And he would have them in loose or packaging too.
Uh-huh.
And like, he must have been a collector too, because his would change every week. Like, I googled that Dory Funk and Terry Funk. I wanted those ones because those are all too hardest to get. So I googled or eBayed them every day, their names, to see if they'd ever come up. And finally they came up, so I bought them that day when they came up.
How much did those go for?
I believe those ones were around
$150,
$200. Man. That is up there. So, Dustin, you said that Great Muta is the most produced one. How many figures do you think approximately have they made of him?
Oh, wow. I would think 10 maybe, 10 or 12.
Oh, okay. Do you have a favorite out of the Mutas?
Been up to 15 because they have in so many different outfits because he's really evolved as his character over the years.
Do you have a favorite one?
Of the Muta?
Yes.
Oh, just the original. Just the original Great Muta. You know, the one you saw in WCW in the late 80s, early 90s. And I just have the black one.
Okay. Gotcha. So, obviously, being a fan of NJPW and the Japanese figures, if they were to come over here to the United States and start producing figures, we get asked this question all the time. We'll kind of pose it to you. Who would you prefer to get the license for Japanese figures here in the States? Or, and able to ship to Canada, of course.
Well, you know, I've been getting a lot of those figures from Figures Toy Company, so if they ever got their hands on it, I would be really excited. They're making some really good figures these days.
Yeah, yeah, that's kind of what we were saying, too, is the way that they can put the outfits together, do some pretty good head sculpts. I think that's what a lot of people are leaning towards, is for Figures Toy Company to pick up that license.
Oh, yeah, they're doing an excellent job, and I think they would, just with their outfits, they do the jackets and everything, I think they could do justice to the New Japan figures.
Yeah, and they have the NJPW set that you can build your ring with. So you can actually make yourself an NJPW ring and have the Japanese figures. That's awesome. That's a great setup.
You know, I always played with my figures till I was 18 years old, and one day I just couldn't play with them anymore. And now I have almost everybody that's ever wrestled, and I wish every day that I could still play with them.
That's what video games are for.
I just can't do it anymore. I wished I could, because I could make some serious amazing matches and cards, because that's what I used to do, obviously, growing up, playing with my figures.
Well, you know, when you have kids, you can put the figures together and put the matches and then have the kid just do the matches.
I don't think I'm going to let them come anywhere near my toys.
I hear you.
Those figures are on lock and key.
I have dogs and 10 cats in my house, and they're always going into my wrestling room and knocking over my wrestlers. So that really
aggravates. Oh, man.
I have to go around and stick them back up.
Dustin, two-part question. What is your favorite SharePro figure, and what is your favorite FTC figure?
Well, my favorite SharePro, oh, man. Like I said, that Tenryu, I really like, but because of the so hard to find and I finally got them and they look exactly like they did in the 70s, I'd say the Dory and Terry Funk. Those ones are just special. So it's got, sorry, that's kind of three guys there. And my favorite figures toy company one, is that what the other question
yeah.
was?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I really like the Kenny Omega just to have a Kenny Omega, but I believe the best one that they've made so far was the Tama Tonga or the Blue Meanie.
I've got to agree with you on that. The Tama Tonga, Blue Meanie, and the Rocky Romero are the two that are just, that just blow me away with what they've done with those figures.
Oh, yeah. I just, no, I can't wait every time. I'd like to see all the new guys are going to sign in the future as well.
Yeah.
We think that they're going to have a good laundry list of names coming up, but fingers crossed.
We're all hoping.
Yeah, I'm fingers crossed.
For sure.
Dustin, is there any plugs that you have?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at TheRealHDA or on Snapchat at Dusty Adonis. And then if you want to see any of my figures, I can send you a pic, or if you ever want to see my room, just hit me up. Or if you want to see any figures that I might have, just hit me up and I can Snapchat you a picture of my wrestlers or Twitter as well.
It's just an awesome collection. He was sending pictures over to us, and just looking over the SharePro figures, it's amazing because you didn't know that these figures existed. And like you said, Dustin, Scott and Aaron are like, oh, we want a Hakushi figure. We want a Jushin Thunder Liger. And you're sitting there looking at him like, I have those figures, you know, just like you said earlier. But the figures are just absolutely amazing. Like you said, the attention to detail that they have done on these figures, just amazing. And wish they would come out with more, because I think there would be a bigger market for it.
I agree, and they're both the same size as the Gloobs WCW.
And they have movable joints, like you were saying, in the waist and the arms. And you can follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Snapchat, and the Book of Faces at Fully Posable, Instagram Fully Posable, WFP. You can get any of our shirts from Pro Wrestling Tees or whatamaneuver.net. Dustin, I think I have you lined up for one of the series of Fully Posable card back.
Hey, dude, Series 2, can't wait.
Yeah,
news coming on that.
Yep, I had your name down for one of the series. I just couldn't remember right off the bat.
Can't wait.
You can go back and listen to any of our past podcasts, fullyposablepodcast.com, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Please rate and review on iTunes, and you can email us any audio questions, anything else at all to fullyposablewfp@gmail.com. Dustin, thank you for your time tonight, man. This was awesome. We cannot thank you enough for doing this.
Like I said, I've been a huge fan of your guys's for a long time, and I got to meet you in New Orleans, and that was really an honor. And now I finally get to be on your show, so I'm really excited.
Thank you, Dustin. We appreciate your time, man. And thank you for schooling us. Like we said, we were always WCW, ECW, WWF, WWE figures. We never looked at the Japan figures, and I'm happy you were on tonight to kind of take us to school on those things. We appreciate it a lot.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me.
And absolutely. also thank you for showing up to the Fully Posable meetup. That was awesome, man. You walked up and you're like, I'm Dustin Meyer. I was like, holy crap, I did not expect to see you here.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, I really wanted to go, but I was, you know, I was going with a bunch of my friends, and I didn't know if it was all going to work out, because I didn't know exactly what time our flights were going to be in and get settled down. But everything really worked out, and I told my guys I'd really like to go to this. And we all came down to the House of Blues. And yeah, so that's why I didn't give you the heads up, because I didn't know it was going to work out. But it all worked out, and I had just a blast there. That was a great time getting to meet everybody, and you guys put on a really good show.
We're glad you could come out, man. We're glad you had fun.
We put on two Iron Man matches, man. It was 2 hours of fun, dude.
It's the match faces to Twitter accounts and to your show as well.
Yeah, that was a great part of it. Like, going into New Orleans, seeing all the, you know, like you said, matching all the faces to all the Twitter accounts, and then everybody coming up to us and either saying their Twitter account or by name, so we could always piece two and two together. But that meetup was just so much fun. And oh, also congratulations to your brother on winning the Hogan.
Oh yeah. Well, actually, I was the real winner, because he ended up giving it to me.
Well, Dustin, again, thank you for being on. Scott, that wraps up episode 121. Anything else?
yes, stay tuned for info. As we talked about earlier on Series 2 Cardback shirt, we're going to start reaching out to you guys very, very soon. I'll be in touch with Jason Wolf on getting that design made up. And happy toy hunting.
Dustin, again, thank you for being on. We appreciate that.
It's been a pleasure.
Hashtag Fig Life. Adios.